Hello everyone. First of all, I would like to thank Dr. Rajiv Vashne for giving me this opportunity to share with you our work we have been doing on enhancing the nutrition value of wheat, particularly durum wheat. So when we talk about nutrition value, we talk about micronutrients. And as we know, most of the almost 3 billion people in the world don't have enough, adequately have intake of micronutrients like iron, zinc, copper, and then they suffer malnutrition. The striking fact here is around 200 million children actually suffer from underweight and reduced growth, basically mainly due to insufficient intake of micronutrients. So micronutrients play an important role in our development. Now, if we are in developed world, we can take a pill or give some gummy bears to our kids, and we are okay with all those things. But the number here mostly represent the developing world, the Africa, the Asia, where they don't have the luxury of taking those pills or taking the supplements actually. So what we do? All of those people at least take the cereals, wheat, rice. So if we could enhance the micronutrient availability in those cereals, then we can address this issue of malnutrition in that part of the world. So for that, as we all know that wheat is an important staple food crop actually, and almost 40% population of the world depends on wheat. So wheat is an excellent target to enhance the micronutrient contents. But anyhow, this is one side of the coin. The story doesn't end at enhancing the micronutrient content. There are certain elements in the grains which are toxic. So we need to get rid of those animals. That's another part of the equation here. And one of the most important component or trace element here is grain cadmium. Grain cadmium is a heavy metal present in very minor amount in the soils. And from the soil, it can enter to the humans through food chain. The plants absorb it from the soil and then we eat the food. So it has been found in several studies that cadmium is linked with, it has carcinogenic effects, it's linked with many types of cancers, kidney problems. So our objective at North Dakota, because we work on durum wheat and hexaploid wheat actually, so the problem is much worse in durum wheat. And why is that? So although the cadmium is present in the soil, not every plant is able to translocate it from soil to the roots to the leaves and the grains. Most of the plant species, they absorb it, keep it in the roots. But durum wheat has a tendency to absorb it and through the roots and move it to the grains. And as you can see in here, in this box chart here, the hexaploid wheat and durum wheat planted in the same area gives you much different readings. Significant difference is almost 3 times. So because of the concern of grain cadmium, this CODEX Commission of Food and Agriculture Organization of the UN, they recommended that the maximum limit of cadmium in the grains of durum wheat should be about 0.2 ppm or 200 micrograms per kilogram. So, as you can see in the second box chart, the soils in the North Dakota, and I would mention here that North Dakota produces most of the durum wheat. Almost 70% of the durum wheat in the US is produced in the North Dakota. And it contributes huge to the economy, almost $500 million of direct impact the durum wheat has. Now, if you can see in this box chart here, different soils in North Dakota has different cadmium levels. The cadmium is in very minor quantity, like 1 ppm almost, but it translates directly to the grains. The same durum panel evaluated in two different locations. You can see in here, this is one location, and this is the second, almost 200 miles away from each other. And you can see that there is almost threefold difference in here. So, breeding for cadmium is one of the most important objectives we have now. Because if the cadmium levels are more than this limit, we cannot import it. They simply don't take it. So, when it comes to breeding, we have most of the durum wheat is high cadmium. But in last few years, a couple of sources from Syria, landraces were introduced to the Northern American durum wheat projects. One of them is Nile, the other one is Hurani. Some Canadian programs have used Nile and for developing low cadmium lines, so we also use those lines in our breeding program. And then recently, three, four years ago, we were developing, the durum wheat project was developing this lines to enhance the fusarium head blight resistance using Sumai 3. So, but what we found at the end was their line was very low cadmium, even lower than what we got from Nile and Hurani. So we had third source, and it doesn't involve any of those parents. So we have third source of low cadmium as well. Now, if we want to phenotype all the low cadmium lines in our breeding program, almost we evaluate almost 10,000 F4 lines and 3,000 or 4,000 F5 lines. And the cost per sample of phenotyping is almost $20 a sample. So it's a huge amount. So we don't want to use traditional phenotyping actually there for screening for cadmium. So here, the genomics-assisted breeding comes into picture. So we started looking for markers for cadmium. First, we developed some biparental populations. They were using Hurani and some high-yielding lines. And we genotyped this line, this population with the Infinium 9K. And then what we found is, we found that the cadmium is contributed by a single, the variation of cadmium is contributed by a single major gene located on chromosome 5B. It contributes almost 60% of the phenotypic variation. So after finding this gene, we were interested in, we found it in one population, but it might not work in the other population. So we wanted to validate the gene, and we developed another population using Strongfield. Strongfield has the low cadmium from Nile. So we could validate easily the same markers, the Casper doubled markers from their SNP in the other populations, almost 65% variation. Now, when we were using those markers in the population doubled from the third source, DO-line, we found different results. We were not able to validate those. So what's going on there? We have another, so we developed another population, and we genotyped with 90K. The QT analysis found this marker on the same region on chromosome 5B. Okay, then we started validating their markers. So we could validate in one population, which were doubled from Strongfield or Nile or Hurani, but we were not able to develop, to validate these markers in the population which were doubled from this DO line. So what's going on there? What we did there then is we intercrossed all the low cadmium lines to see if it is a different gene or a different allele. We intercrossed all those lines, and we could see that the markers associated with this 5B gene, they segregate in the population where we use DO line as one parent and the line doubled from Nile or Hurani. But not in the population which were doubled from low parent Nile and Hurani. And then we did some marker analysis. The markers go back to Sumai 3. So we concluded that it's a different gene coming from hexaploid wheat, because hexaploid wheat doesn't have high cadmium. So we concluded that this is a different allele than what we have from the two other sources, and it's coming from hexaploid wheat. We could then validate that their markers in almost 93% of the lines. Now, after doing this biparental mapping, actually, so we thought, okay, we should do GWAS because there might be some minor genes involved, actually, because we don't find 100% variation there. So we used 240 lines from advanced breeding lines. These lines were from the uniform regional nursery, which were doubled in the last 10 to 15 years. We genotyped them with 90K, almost 16,000 markers, polymorphy we got. And the GWAS showed us that there are 8 loci associated with cadmium. All of those were identified in both the locations at a FDR p-value of 0.001. But the major effect still comes from chromosome 5B. The other QTL has minor effects. And if we do a step-wise regression, and it shows the total contribution from those genes in this GWAS panel was 33%. We have to still validate the minor genes. Then recently, I was curious that, okay, we are seeing that the other genes coming from hexaploid wheat. So let's evaluate hexaploid wheat panel for cadmium and see what we find in there. So fortunately, we have a panel, a TCAP panel, and we included some lines from North Dakota. So this panel consists of almost advanced breeding lines from 10-11 breeding programs in the U.S. So using almost 32,000 markers, the GWAS, first of all, you can see in here on this graph that in two different locations, and which have much more cadmium than where we evaluate durum wheat, the cadmium level in those lines is not much high, so around 0.2, which is acceptable limit. So the GWAS analysis did not find us any major gene. There were six different loci with minor effects, and we could not find any gene where we found the gene, like 5B locus, which we found in D genome. So we could say that it confirms that the, first of all, glucarmin is not important in hexaploid wheat, and second, the genetic architecture is not that simple as we have in durum wheat. Now, the most important part for us was to validate those markers, the marker which we doubled in durum wheat, in our breeding program, because it saves us a lot of money. So what we did was we took all the lines from our advanced yield trials, almost 4,200 lines, and we screened them with 3 different markers associated with the cadmium. So what we see there is that we could find accuracy of those markers in predicting the low cadmium lines versus high cadmium up to 97%. And the average in per population was almost 85%. And it could be higher because some of the lines in those panels are still a few lines are developed from the DO line, which were giving the other alleles. So it works perfectly. And nowadays, we are using these markers on our routine basis to screen for cadmium. And my boss, actually, after working almost 30 years as a breeder, he is for the first time happy with the markers. So after working on cadmium, I also wanted to see how much variation we have in our panel for other micronutrients. I used 2 panels, one the same UIDN lines for durum wheat, and then 300 lines almost from TCAP spring wheat panel. As you can see, there is a variation for copper, iron, manganese, zinc in both the panels, almost same level. It's not as good as we find in land races or in wild ancestors, but it's still 2 to 3-fold variation in those lines, actually, and you could find some lines showing higher values for some traits. As we expect, the micronutrients in they are highly affected by the environment, so the correlation between 2 different environments is not very high in both durum wheat and as well as in the hexaploid wheat. So we got the same type of results when we did GWAS. Many genes with minor effect. None of those genes were most of those genes were below the FDR threshold. So that's why we took the suggestive value of 0.001 probability or negative log 3. We could find many genes The good thing here is some of those genes were expressed in both the locations, so I take that as a positive. They contribute very small variation for all the traits, as you can see in here. For all the traits. So, conclusion, what I was thinking there is that it's not like cadmium in durum wheat. For micronutrients, the architecture is much more complex, smaller variation, many genes. But the positive was we could find some markers which were present in both the locations. So we could use those markers and start to validate those markers. So looking at this variation and this type of results from GWAS, I wanted to test if we can see use genomic selection in there, how much the genomic selection predicts the accurately. So it's preliminary, but we ran six different models for all those elements, cadmium, copper, iron, zinc. As you could see that the prediction accuracy is higher for cadmium, and these results are based on just durum wheat. So prediction accuracy is higher for cadmium, almost in the range of 50s. But the prediction accuracy for all other micronutrients is 0.2 to 0.3. So there's still a long way to go for us if we want to use genomic selection in those. And among all those models, most of the times there is a regression based on RR block or random forest. They gave us the best values. We are still going to look into more other aspects actually. See if we can incorporate environmental effects and other things in there to get some better values. To conclude, I would say marker system selection works great for us for cadmium. It has been saving a lot of money. As far as micronutrients are concerned, we did find some markers, stable markers. We will validate those, but maybe in future, genomic selection could give us better results, not as of now, for selecting for micronutrients. With that, I would like to acknowledge my colleagues here, this durum wheat project leader, Dr. Elias, hard red spring wheat leader, Dr. Margoon, and then graduate students, Satina, Marina, Evan, Vesam, all these guys worked on biparental populations. And then Dr. Luther Talbot from Montana State University provided us the seeds for spring wheat panel. Dr. Shawmin did us the genotyping, the funding from SBIR and North Dakota Wheat Commission. Thank you, everyone.